It's great to be here. This is Heather Davis, and I'm with Joanna Gerard, and we're starting again with our second area of our second session of our astrology and the houses, because we had so much to cover the last podcast that we really want to dive in deeper here. But Joanna, really, I have to mention, when I picked Joanna up today, and you know, I've known Joanna for a really long time, right? So she's coming out of the coffee shop and I see this shirt and I stand there and I go, stand there, right there. Just don't move for a minute. Let me read what this says. And it says, straight out of Uranus. Now, I don't know what that meant, but I think we'll probably end
up talking. I'm not from Compton.
No, you're from, well, but I'm honestly, we covered so much and you were so thorough with so many things, but I can imagine that we have just tip, like a little bit of the tip of the iceberg.
So you want me to tell you about the why I have a shirt on that says
I need to know exactly why you affronted
So I'm very Uranian because I have Uranus conjunct my ascendant, which is my rising sign, conjunct my sun, conjunct my Mars, and squaring my midheaven. So that square to the midheaven means that I pretty much do best when I'm self-employed. Hmm. Otherwise, there's behavioral problems on my side. Uranus is the planet that rules astrologers. Studies show that it's the most common aspect with professional astrologers. That's what I became, is Uranus conjunct the ascendant. And what that does is give an eccentric, freedom-loving kind of personality that kind of just does their own thing, basically. So I am, even though over here in the West I'm a Scorpio rising, in the East I'm a Libra rising, I am by nature considered a Uranian type of person.
Right.
And you can tell by my lifestyle, right?
I mean, when you walk in, you seem to take charge. You seem to know already what needs to be done and you get it done. And I respect the fact that you're assertive and you voice your opinion, I think. Mm-hmm. But you're also very compassionate because you don't like to hurt people's feelings,
right.
Which is a nice component. Is that another
Unless they
side?
Hurt mine.
Unless, and then you come out with all claws.
Could have it conjunct Mars. Remember, Mars is the planet of aggression. So what you do in anything in the first house, and when I look at a chart, when I'm doing a person's chart, I look at any planet in the first house to basically describe their personality or what you see when you first meet them. Mm-hmm. Let's say somebody has something like a Capricorn rising, which is more known for structure and work, but they've got something like Mars there, you know, that's going to give them an Aries vibe because Mars, they're going to be more assertive than somebody who's just a straight Capricorn with nothing else going on there. Of course, I look at the ruler of the ruler, like we talked about before, but that's what the first house is about. So that's why people never guess me as a Scorpio because I'm just quite frankly too weird. You know what I mean? I'm not dark and brooding in the corner, you know, whatever. I'm very direct.
Right,
and that's
right.
Because Mars is aspecting there too.
Right.
So, yeah.
And, you know, when I read the book with your cards and I noticed that Pluto, because we all know Pluto kind of got ousted, unfortunately, poor Pluto, right? And that you said you still consider that to be.
I do.
Is there a compelling reason why you think that?
I just feel intuitively that, you know, it matters. Yeah. You know, Pluto matters. Mm-hmm. Just like whatever. Now, it's an outer planet, just like Neptune, just like Uranus. So it's really going to depend on not so much the sign it's in, but where it is in that person's chart. You know, somebody with Pluto in the first house is going to give more of an intense vibe because it is the first house, because Pluto is the co-ruler of Scorpio. Mm-hmm. So I've seen this go both ways. I've seen really, really, really powerful people with that placement. I've seen horrifically mean people with that placement because, as you know, they say, you know, Scorpio can go either way. So it's really where those outer planets are. I think the importance of where the planets are is a lot of times, to me, even more important than the signs they're in general, because when we have a transit, you know, we're looking at where it's hitting your chart. Basically, the 12 houses are different areas of our lives, and that's how we predict, basically.
Okay.
Now, we didn't talk about the north node and the south node of the moon last time, but those are in the east, they're called Rahu and Ketu. Those are also very important and very karmically important because the Rahu is considered the head of the dragon, and it's our ambition, our desire, all that. Ketu is the tail of the dragon. Mm-hmm. They're not actually planets, but they're points. Mm-hmm. And Ketu is more where we release. It's spirituality. You know, Rahu gives us fame, fortune, all that stuff. Ketu takes it away and makes us more like, hey, this stuff isn't as important. So I look at both those things too to see where somebody, what's going on with them directionally.
And so when we talked about, remember, we touched on a little bit about this, about how at one time surgeons had to perform surgeries based on the positioning of the moon, right? Mm-hmm. You said that was a really good idea. Is mm-hmm. that the same kind of thing what we're talking about with what you're referring
to? Absolutely. So we look at, I just talked to a really well-known Vedic astrologer the other day, and we were talking about certain transits that go on when we're in certain periods, whatever. And the purpose of astrology is not so much to be like a psychic, like, oh, he's going to call you, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's more like, hey, it's a good time to do this, or you need to lay low right now, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of a thing. And so when we take two relationships, two people, that's called synastry charts. So that's looking at both people. So when we get into the second house, we're talking about our money, what we value, not just money, but what do we value? You know, some people are freedom people. I'm a freedom person. That's first and foremost to me, more than money. You need money to have freedom.
Oh, when I get some money, I'll let you know.
I always say that the one drawback of being a free spirit is poverty.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, we do need it, but I'm not, I am Uranian. I do have, you know, Sagittarius in that house, you know, natally. So to me, it's, I don't care about designer clothes. You know what I mean? But what I do care about is being able to wake up when I want to wake up and do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's considered freedom to me. Some people, it's like a fancy car.
And
you know?
But I like that. I'm more exposed to, like, for instance, I don't know if you've heard about the love languages, right?
Uh-huh.
So in other words, what do you feel the most love from your mate when we're talking about that synergy that you have between the two individuals, right? Mm-hmm. So if I say that attention is make me feel most loved, when you're running a chart or maybe you're seeing a couple together, and does that love language, how they feel loved, actually is something within the stars, meaning that's something that's already been kind of predisposed in them based on their charts, that more likely this kind of person would want to have money. This person more likely would want to have more attention. Okay.
So like, let's say, for example, I always say in a man's chart, I look at where the moon is and where the Venus is to see the kind of woman he's attracted to. In a girl's chart, I'm going to look at sun and Mars to see the kind of man. So if my Mars, which is in Scorpio, is sitting on top of somebody else's ascendant on Scorpio or another water sign, we're going to jive right there. But you got to look at, it's just like everything else in astrology. There's so much to it. There's other planets. You know, there could be squares. You know, I like Leos, but they square my sun. So we got power issues, me and Leos. Even though I like them, it's like, who's going to be the boss? Right. You know, that's always, but I like them. Right. But I still win.
Win because you're a Uranus. Because
Uranus.
And I mean that in the nicest way, believe me. No, okay. So that's very interesting. I always wonder too, you know, we had discussed it. I mean, in candid, right? We're talking in a small group here, right? Mm-hmm. Just a few million people, I'm sure. Anyway, that's a joke. That you've appeared to have anger, almost like I described it as, like on the surface, like almost like if I step out of line, maybe you might snap. Now, I don't know whether I don't know whether it's a personality, because I know I have a lot of, you do, well, I do love you, though. That's the important thing. No, let me ask. No, I don't mean it that way. I just mean, like, snap angrily. I don't mean, like, do anything rash. I just mean, like, you do come across sometimes as having, like, an underlining current of anger. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
From my K2 dasha, which I'm in right now. So I have K2 natally in the seventh house, south node of the moon, and my K2 is dancing with all these malefics right now until I get out of that and go into my Venus dasha, which means it's aspecting my natal Rahu, my natal Mars. My natal Uranus.
When you say natal, tell me what you mean by that.
So all these planets in the first house, right? So I have Mars, Uranus, my, you know, all this stuff going on in my first house, me, myself, and I, natally. So when I go through a dasha that may not be easy, and it's an aggressive sign like Aries, I have less patience. So Mars cuts, right? Mars cuts. That's the whole purpose of Mars. It severs things. It gives ambition. When you see somebody with a strong Mars or having a Mars transit, you're going to see them cut people off like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. Somebody makes them mad, they're done. So now, at another time in their life, they may be more relaxed. Mm-hmm. But it gives you a little compassion for people, because sometimes I meet people and I'm like, oh, they got something going on with Mars right now. And that's why they're so quick to just be like, we're done, you know, because it's impatient. Think of the first sign of the zodiac ruled by Aries, Mars. It's like, okay, here I am.
Right.
It's not going to be like Neptune and Pisces and take it slow.
So can we talk a little bit more about the houses? Because we did go over that a little bit.
Second house is what we value. It's our money. It's our voice.
Right.
And it can, like I said before, in the Vedic system, be our actual physical face. Whereas the first house is how we come across in general. general to everybody. So, you know, what you see when you see somebody. Now, there's so much to everybody that we got to look at the whole chart. But the first house is just what we're seeing. The second house is what we value. Some people really value papers and degrees and, you know, status. Some people value that freedom. Some people are just into home and family. But I look at the second house to see that, you know, and I also look at it how they make their money. So, you know, I have Neptune in the second house. Obviously, I worked as a professional psychic, which is a Neptunian job. I worked with kids with disabilities, which is a Neptunian job.
You did it on your own with your own business, which shows that because you're, that's your check. Take charge, the freedom, and autonomy, and
that's just in my chart. You know, that's just the way it is. So, so, but I look at anybody's stuff. There are aspects of the second house. What do they value? You know, and that's what how you kind of figure out how people tick. And if I was to hire people right now, I would look at. And I'll be honest with you, if I saw somebody with my chart, probably wouldn't hire them. Because because of Uranus, because it's too freedom, it's too much, I got to do my own thing, it's too much of an entrepreneur. I would want somebody, I would partner with somebody like that, you know what I mean? But like as far as like if I, and I don't have coworkers, so I mean people that work under me kind of a thing.
No, I'm just kidding.
Like independent, like I don't want, I used to be a teacher, it's not fun to me, you know what I mean? So it's like I like people that know exactly what they're doing. You come with me, we'll do it together, but I don't want to teach adults all day how to do their job. The third house is siblings, it's neighbors, and it's communication. So the thing about social media, right? People that are on TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but I know a lot of people do really well on TikTok and stuff like that. A nice positive third house is going to make you a good communicator, make your relationships with siblings good, make your relationships with neighbors good. You got a bad transit going through there, like maybe, you know, Mars or everything's temporary.
But it, I was going to say, this is a temporary kind of thing that would you would go through this house.
Right.
It's not permanent, but it's saying that during this time, this is the focus.
There's the natal chart and the progress chart.
Right.
So like I was saying with Uranus, that's my natal chart. That's just me, you know. But I can have transits of other planets moving through, which makes parts of our life either easier or more difficult, depending on what it's hitting and what else it's hitting. Because if it's hitting a house, it's also hitting the opposite house. So let's say something is hitting the first house of me, myself. That means it's also aspecting the seventh house of others and relationships.
All right. Now, you alluded to, not to keep skipping all over, but you know I have ADHD, right? So, and I need clarification because I'm not, you go through a lot of terms, but we touched on the surface anger thing, and you said it's about the dasha and all that.
And that's now, and that's Eastern astrology.
But that's also temporary for you, correct? Because of the what you're going through.
It's a 7-year dasha, so it's temporary, but there's something called antardashas in between. So right now I'm in Rahu, and then I'll go into Jupiter in August, and Jupiter's better for me.
Right.
That's why you got to know the whole chart, you know what I mean?
And the other thing I had a question on, too, is the signs. Like, you had picked up on the sign of the praying mantis, right? So what if those signs happen to everybody, but they don't ever pick up on it? So does that mean that the opportunity was given to them,
kind of,
but they didn't take it, and so it was a missed opportunity?
Well, I had a conversation with my priest about this. He's, you know, some people think psychics are so evil, and he's like, no, you just have a good ear for guardian angels. You know, somebody tried to break in my house one night, and I went to go answer it, and I heard in my head, I heard, don't answer that door. And so he's just like, that's what it is. You have a good ear. Just like I saw the praying mantis thing, to me, I knew what that meant. That's just me having a good understanding.
I see.
You know?
But it was almost like it was being presented to you.
I
see that in my life.
And some people just refuse to listen. And that's really what it is. You know? We're like, constantly being guided.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about red flags and and like how we kind of ignore sometimes the things that are right in front of us that we shouldn't. And then we look back and go, why didn't I just listen to
myself? And
then
you beat yourself up.
But
it's learning, though. Sometimes we just got to learn the hard way. It's like a relationship, you know. There's usually a little red flags like, hey, get out of this one. I leave as soon as whatever. But it took me 48 years to figure out that, hey, this isn't, I can already tell this ain't going to work.
Be the best possible houses to pull. For somebody, like
for me,
say the you would pull it and go, oh my God, this is amazing.
Well, there is no good or bad. It's how everything comes together. Venus is typically a good planet, you know. Saturn is traditionally a more difficult planet because it rules delays. You know, the fourth house is home and family. So I look at how people, how you came into this world, and kind of, I don't predict death, obviously, but how your situation's around the end of your life. It's also your early upbringing.
See, I was always the impression that the marks on your hands when you did the pottery, the length of the crease on your hand was going to show you how long your life was going to be.
heard that too. Read poems though before.
I still can't.
And the depth of the lines.
And apparently, I was supposed to have 12 children because of the lines on the side, but that didn't transpire. I'm still trying though. I'm halfway there. I'm just kidding. Well, anyway, I know. It's very interesting to me. I think, you know, in my situation too. I remember going through a period of time where it was like this baseline, like this underlining current of anger. Like I was just angry for no, like I couldn't pinpoint it. Just everybody would be irritating to me. But also, I'm not a Uranus. Mm-hmm. But I...
Well, we don't really know that because we don't have your chart in it, too.
Oh, well, anyway, no, what I was going to say was that I have that, too, where I need a lot of autonomy. And every job I take or every company that I work for, they always want to run the...
Well, the sign Aquarius is ruled by Uranus.
Oh, so you're saying you rule me, then? Yeah. Is that what... She's always wanted to do...
Uranus.
Oh, you're so... God. What kind of show is this, Joanne?
No, you'd have to look at the whole chart and planets that are aspecting it to see the personality type.
Yeah, I do like a lot of power. You know, I mean, even when I was in third grade, I would create clubs just so I could boss people
around. And that's
around.
More of a Pluto Mars. The Uranian person just wants to do their own.
I was always doing, like, just overly too social. They'd have the parent-teacher conference, and Sister Ellen met with my mother and said, she's a darling little girl, but she does a little too much socializing. I was in so much trouble. Back then, if a teacher said something, I'd get in big trouble. So whatever she said. But yeah, I did too much socializing. But I was always doing something, and I see that very strong in my life. So tell me something. We got just a couple more minutes, so maybe you can dive a little bit more into some interesting houses.
They're all interesting. But the seventh house is our marriage partner. I can tell you that right now. Your first marriage partner. Your second marriage partner is your ninth house. If you have more than one. So I look at aspects to describe what that person is like and maybe how it might work out. But we got to look at the synastry to see if your personalities are going to work out.
Well, I enjoyed this conversation so much, Joanne. Okay. Yeah, it was great. And then hopefully we'll just continue on with this and I'll learn some more. Okay.
See
thank you so
time.
Much.
Bye.